Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Honey on my lips. The psalmist said in Psalm 19 verse 10 about the word of God that it is sweeter than honey. Join Lady Reverend Adelaide Hayward Mills.
Life has a way of dishing out to us things that we did not expect. Sometimes it's a dream that seems to be delayed. Many times you see a man, you know, he has a good job, he's a cool dude, his suit is smart, and you think, when I marry him, everything will be together. The unexpected is unexpected from our perspective, but from God's perspective, it is not unexpected.
On Sweet Melodies 94.3, as she puts the honey of God's word on your lips, equipping you for all facets of life this and every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Honey on My Lips will change your life, preach good news to the poor, set the captives free, heal the brokenhearted, bring recovery of sight to the blind, and proclaim God's year of Jubilee. Honey on My Lips. Saturdays at 9 a.m. on Sweet Melody. Be blessed by God as you tune in to Lady Reverend Adelaide Hayward Mills.
Well, you are all welcome to tonight's nice and great and an honorable feast. Are you with me? Where we are going to receive something that we have never ever received in our lives before. And we are blessed. I'm overwhelmed. And I'm blessed. Because how many of you know that Jesus visiting the earth has never been the same again? There is a power of visitation. And when you are receiving a visit, number one, it depends on who is visiting you. Are you understanding me? Are you with me? Because maybe we might be around where, you know, you go to somebody's house. The more you go to the person's house, later when you are going there again, the person thinks, no, this person might have a problem. That's why he's coming. But once a while, you receive a visit from a special person. Are you understanding me? A special person who has your interest at heart. Are you with me? A special person who thinks of you from afar. A special person who happens to be your mommy. It's a wow! And this wonderful evening, we are blessed to have our mommy with us. Your clapping is very weak. Your clapping is weak. Yeah. We thank God for the life of our daddy, Bishop Dag. Come on. Yeah. Look, by the grace of God. I said, by the grace of God. I mean, maybe you might know somebody who, you know, we hear names. Benny Hinn, Oral Roberts, Reinhard Bonnke. Maybe you might know them. Me, I don't know any of these people. But one person I know. You know, when they say somebody is anointed, one person I know, he is called Bishop Dagiwood Mills. And he's anointed. Yeah. You know, and as I have learned from Bishop, I have discovered that you can be with somebody, there is no feeling, there is nothing you see about the person. But when you want to know somebody is anointed, Bishop explains it as the effect. You see, you see it by When the person has done something, spoken, or passed through your life, what effect do you see? Because the wind blew it where it listed. Yeah. You feel the wind, but you don't see the wind. But it's the effect of the wind. You see things moving. And then that will tell you. So, we are talking about somebody who has established so many things. Are you with me? And you are blessed to be part of this family. I said, you are blessed to be part of this family. I said, you are blessed. Come on, are you blessed to be part of this family? And tonight, it's not daddy, but it's mommy. Wow. One of the most noble women I've ever met in my life. I mean, when you have her in your life, you will see that you are one of the most blessed people in life. Yeah. And I told my wife, if I die and I come back to life and I get born again, I'll join Lighthouse. I tell you, it's a nice church. So a virtuous woman, a woman who has had a family that we see her children as examples for us to learn from. She's the one who is going to speak to us tonight. I want you to open your heart, open your spirit, and let's hear this wonderful vessel of God that we are blessed. We didn't do anything for her to come to us. And she did not need to come to us. But by the grace of God, I said, by the grace of God, standing to your feet with a shout of honor to God, shall we welcome?
I believe that you gave a resounding applause to God for his blessing you with Bishop Dag and Lady Reverend Adelaide. But I want you to give a resounding applause to Jesus. The reason why we are here, he is the reason. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Shall we pray? Shall we pray? Father, we hallow your presence in our midst this evening. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to take absolute control of this meeting. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will use this vessel of clay. I pray that you will cleanse this vessel from anything that is not of you. Let your will be done. Let your word go forth to your people. And let your word reap a bumper harvest in our lives. Let our lives be changed for good because of the power of the Holy Spirit to transform our lives through your spoken word. I receive unction and grace from you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your seat. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, I'm excited and surprised to be here. And I can see that Jesus is alive and well in Zurich and in Switzerland. So give God a hand for his faithfulness. Amen. And I bring you greetings from my husband, the bishop. Who has allowed me to be here this evening. Amen. And I also respect him very much. And I salute God's grace on his life. Amen. I am coming from Ukraine, where my first son has graduated now. By the grace of God. And we also spent some time with the church there. And Bishop ministered powerfully. And you know, parts of their country are in crisis. But the church is alive and well. And Bishop was encouraging them and saying that the work of God does not stop even in the midst of trouble. That the kingdom of God marches forward irrespective of what is happening. Because God says, I'll build my kingdom and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit down, first love. So yeah, this evening is an informal meeting. So turn to the person next to you and say, relax. Don't be so starchy. Relax. I want to salute the Reverend Kweku. Who is the shepherd of this side. Amen. And to thank God for him and for his faithfulness. As I sat in the plane, and they said that we had gotten to Zurich, I don't know, for a few minutes, my mind went back to Zurich. And how it all began. Because in 1994, I was in England doing a postgraduate course. And I used to come at my own cost to Zurich because Bishop had come here to start the church. And we lived in a faraway place in somebody's basement. It was called Lierli. It was a village far away out of Zurich, I believe. And sometimes it used to be a bit frightening driving back after ministry to Lierli. And we also had some prayer meetings in that basement. And even at that time, although there was no church, we still paid some rent for using that basement. And since the people were so few, I think about three or four, if I didn't come to church, it was a major issue. My husband will be calling me, where are you? I said, I have assignments to complete. I am here on scholarship, so I have to finish. So when are you finishing your assignment? A lot of pressure. I wanted to come back. He wanted me to come earlier. That, so you say your lectures end on Friday. So can't you come on Thursday? Hey, somebody's daughter has come to school small. And after the pressure to, you are not the one to give him money to buy my ticket. I have to save and buy my ticket, but it was a joy. And to see all that God has done. You know, and then I went with him for door-to-door evangelism. And some of the people used to look at us queerly as if, what's your real motive in coming to Switzerland? What's your real reason? And to most of them, we couldn't also say that, look, if we wanted to live here, we'll be here before you. Because they haven't said, but in their faces you can see. But I remember one brother was very bold and said, so why did you come? I mean, what's the reason? Because I think then that a lot of people didn't also have renewed minds. So when you come, it must be only for a financial. It can't be that the work of God will bring you. Or it can't be that the love of God is the only reason. I mean, it can't be. You know? But God has been faithful over the years. And for the church to still exist, in spite of all the earthquakes and the tornadoes, it makes me know that God is building his church. Amen. So all this, The plane was taxiing around, and then I was thinking all these thoughts. And I said, how can a church be like something that everybody cuts them and takes away? How? How can a church be treated that way? And still God says, and I will build my church. So the church is a spiritual thing. That's why sometimes when people think, oh, I'll close it down. I'll say this and they are finished. I'll say this and it's gone. I'll say this and... No. It is a spiritual thing. It is not a business that you open and you close. And it is being built by God himself. You know, so the Holy Spirit said to me, it's God's church. And God is building it himself. And that is how come the gates of hell cannot prevail against God's church. Amen. So I am very grateful to God. The Lighthouse Chapel is still in Switzerland and has even expanded and even had more branches. It is only God who can do this. And I give him all the glory. And I want to encourage you that whatever God has said, he will do it. Amen. In every area of your life. You know, God was a perfect parent, but his children still fell. So sometimes you may do all you can do, but certain things will come your way. But in God, there's still redemption and recovery. Even after you feel that creation has fallen, it's finished, God has another plan that we don't know about. I also want to salute all our pastors for their faithfulness. All these years. It's not easy to do your work and do the work of God at the same time. And it's not easy to deal sometimes with ingratitude. You see? Maybe it's an occasion. Maybe it's Mother's Day. Then some prophetess who came to minister to you once in the year. They say, oh, mommy, happy Mother's Day. And then the lady pastor who ministers to you all the time, you have even forgotten. You know? But in ministry, you have to encourage yourself. Like David. In the Lord. And know that your labor in the Lord, not in unto men, it's not in vain, because the things that God can do for you, no man can do for you. And it's good that, it is very good that your reward comes from God and not a man. Amen? I mean, God has pleasantly surprised me all over the world. You see, my son was going to medical school in Ukraine. I thought I didn't know anybody there. My husband had been to a church to preach there. And we didn't even know the pastor, but he invited him. So then when I was going there, he said, oh, this is the pastor's address. He's in that city. You can get in touch with him. Before I could say Jack Robinson, when I got to the airport, the pastor was there. He's organized people to meet me. He's organized people to take me from the airport to the train, from the train to that city. And then... when I got there, I said, okay, we now have to look for hostels. The preaching hasn't started. We now have to look for hostels. And then we went to see the hostels, and some of them were not so great. Some of them I was not sure. I wanted my son to be there. So all the time I was praying, what will I do? Then the pastor's wife says, oh, let me show you somewhere else. So she shows me, and it's a very nice furnished place, and I'm wondering, my small savings that I've brought, will it be able to pay the rent of such a nice place? Because it was furnished and she had everything in it. So I said, okay, can we see the landlord or landlady and find out how much the rent is? She says, okay, tomorrow I'll come and get you. And then when she comes the next day, she says, the flat belongs to a church member. And she says that when Bishop came, she was blessed. So have it for free.
I never paid rent for so many years. It's just that you are making plans. Okay, this plan, this is this. You see, multiply. Then you take your mobile phone, calculator, check. Your labor in the Lord is never in vain. God knows how to come through for you. You won't know how. You see, I had some friends in the UK, very close to me. I got to know them in the church. And then now they said the church is doing branches, so it's sending people away. I wasn't happy. When you get to know people small, then when you come again, they are not there. They've gone to this branch. So they sent them. She was a doctor and her husband was an architect. So they sent them to Nottingham in the UK, but outside London. So I was wondering. So when I come, I won't see these people again. I'm not so happy. Years later, my son had to go to school there. And those people were his pastors. And they affected his life in a way that I was not able to affect his life like that when he was with me. He was born again, all right. But the level to which being in that church and being with that pastor and his wife took him, it was at another level. So I would always send a text to the pastor. Thank you for being such a blessing. And then he would say, no, your son rather is a blessing to me. And I would say, no. I know the person who left me. He was a good boy, yes, but I know what God has done. So then I looked and said, so you see, you think you are starting a branch. This branch, why should they go? It's for your own. God is preparing ahead of time for you. Amen. So pastors, I want to encourage you. I am a living testimony of God's faithfulness. God will take care of you. Things that you have not thought of, He has gone ahead to do it for you. So let your heart be encouraged. Amen. And then I also want to salute all the faithful shepherds and church members. It's not always easy to stay faithful, especially in a crisis. This one is saying this, this one is saying this. Accusations are flying everywhere. For you to be stable and stay put and not be moved by every wind of doctrine, it takes the grace of God. God bless you for your faithfulness. And all of you who labor in this vineyard, may Jehovah do for you what you cannot do for yourself. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this evening, we say that our program is called what? No frills means we are very relaxed. You see? So, no frills program on the Christian family. Okay? So, the Christian family, usually, a family entails father, mother, isn't it? Children, and even unborn children, from God's perspective. And I realize that the Christian family is one of the things that Satan is fighting in our current age. And everything that God makes, Satan also makes a similar thing to confuse us. And he perverts whatever God makes. Hey, Reverend, what do you mean by that? You see, when God made Adam and Eve, I can't say that he made Adam and Steve, because he did not. And then when he put Adam and Eve in the garden, Satan came and attacked them. So the family concept is something that Satan has been against long ago, even from the time of creation. And he has done that by bringing in sin, and then also by bringing in a lot of division. You see, he spoke to Eve and said, "Has God said that you shall not eat of this fruit?" You see, You must suspect this God. He's not like he says, you know. He knows that when you eat it, you become like him. And he wants to deprive you of something. So he has intentionally done what he saw. He makes us question God's motives. He makes us question God's heart. And he makes us question God's plan. So we begin to say, no, even though God said this, we can't trust him. Or even though God said this, it can't be true because our experience is different. But whatever God has said, it is so. Amen. Amen. So then God made them male and female. Then when Satan came in, God came in the cool of the garden to visit man and woman, husband and wife. At first, Adam was very excited about the creation of a woman. He said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. You know? But when the problem came, as soon as Satan comes in, then the pointing of the finger, division and accusation also comes into the home. Amen, somebody. So that when God came and said, Adam, Eve, where are you? They were hiding themselves. And God says, where are you? Oh, we hid ourselves because we are naked. And God said, who told you that you are naked? And when he said, what is this that thou hast done? Then Adam said, well, it's the woman you gave me. The woman you gave. As soon as Satan comes in, we begin to point fingers at each other instead of at Satan. And then we lose the real enemy of our souls. And we begin to attack the wrong person. And that is why the Christian home is under siege. Now, the Christian home is not only what you have in your house. It begins with God. Because when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, he said, when you pray, say, our Father. If there's a father, then there are children. Amen? Yes. So God is not only the originator of the first Christian family in the garden, but he also creates a Christian family through whom he relates to us. And it is when we look at God's example or the heavenly example that we will know what type of homes we are supposed to have. Amen. All that I want to say is that the Christian family is God's idea. Psalm 68 verse 6. Psalm 68 verse 6 says, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Amen. It says that God looks for people who are solitary. People who otherwise will be alone. People who otherwise may not have a family spirit. People who otherwise may not even belong. He looks for them. And then he sets them. He doesn't just put them. He sets the solitary in families. So the first family is the heavenly family. And the replica of the heavenly family here on earth is the church of God. The church of God is the first Christian family that exists. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And God sets the solitary. You know, I was just watching TV, Sky News, I believe, and they were saying that a lady had died in her house in Bath, which is outside London, for so many years, and nobody knew. And they were saying that as a nation, they have lost their community spirit. Nobody cares about anybody. Nobody knows their neighbor. Everybody cares for himself and minds their own business. And that what can they do about it? So they did some statistics. They said, oh, so many people don't even know their neighbors. So many people don't have anything to do with their neighbors. And that good neighborliness must be promoted in the community. And I was thinking, it's because you have kicked Christ out. And you have lost that thing that he created called the church. Therefore, there's no community spirit among people. Because God sets the solitary. He looks at our problem. He looks at our disadvantage. He looks at the fact that we are alone. Sometimes in crisis, you are alone. Sometimes in pain, you are alone. Sometimes even in joy, you are alone. In sickness, you are alone. And God said, no, it's not a good idea. I'm going to create something called a family. And it starts with my church. And I'm going to set the solitary in families. Amen. So that is what one of the things that the church is there for. Amen? Amen. And that's why the Bible says in the book of James, if any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick and he will be raised from his bed. But you are sick. You can't call any elder because you have taken yourself out of the family that God has created for you. So if any sick, the only person you know to see is the doctor. And the doctor, to where you go, he says, well, you have only 2 months to live. This is an impossible situation. The statistics are like this, and you are finished. The insurance doesn't cover. The Bible says, mourn with those who mourn, and rejoice with those who rejoice. But because you have taken yourself outside the church, there's no money to mourn with you. There's nobody to rejoice with you. Because that solitary thing that God wanted to solve, in your rebellion, you have moved out. He setteth the solitary. He setteth, he doesn't just put. He sets you in a place. He sets you in a church for a reason. And it's not only maybe congregation members or sheep who are set to the front. We pastors also derive a lot of family spirit from you. And we also need cooperation. We are also sheep. Just that maybe we may be senior sheep, but we are sheep. And we have the same needs that you have. We also need people to rejoice with us when we rejoice. And we need people to mourn with us when we are mourning. Amen. Amen. So the Christian family begins with God. And not only is he a father, he also sent his son. Amen. Amen. The Bible says God sent not his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So if there's a father and there's a son, then there's a family. God sent his son. Amen. And it says about Jesus in John 1:12 that as many as received him and believed in his name, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Relationship. Christianity starts with relationship. The Father looking for lost sinners and sending his son as a bridge so that you and I can be reunited with God. It's all about relationships. How come you, when you have some small challenge, you say, Lady Reverend, I'm leaving. Because you don't know what relationships are. And relationships take time to build. When I see you the first day, oh, praise the Lord. Hi, how are you? That's all. Then the second time, oh, you came to church. How is it? Oh, it's good. Then the third time, oh, pastor, is there any ministry I can join? Or rather, the pastor calls you and says, oh, what are you interested in? We have choir, we have this, we have this. Would you like to join us? It's all building a relationship in the church, in that place that God is working at setting you. Because God has seen that you are solitary. Amen. Amen. In this country where your phone can be there and it won't ring. I was once on the tube in London. A lady was weeping. She would sleep and she would get up. Everybody was reading their book. Somebody had something in their ear. And I, coming from Africa, I couldn't believe it. And I wanted to ask the lady, what is wrong? I was with somebody. I said, hey, you go and ask her, she would rather give it to you So then I couldn't say anything. I was just sitting there, feeling so harassed. But then I said to the person, thank God for Africa. Everybody in the bus will ask you what is wrong. And then they'll start to share their life history. Oh, sister, don't cry. Oh, it happened to me. Oh, you've lost your mother. Eh? As for mothers, they are hard to come by. But you know, this, you see, we may not have structured psychologists, but they are littered everywhere. As you are going to buy roasted plantain, the woman will chat with you. She'll say, oh, So how do you find the economic situation these days? Are you able to cope? Then you say, no, it's really hard. Yeah, we don't even know what they are doing. And you know, the last time, this and that happened. And then that, by the time you are leaving, some comfort has come. But sometimes with our social structure, everything is a machine. In Ghana, when you are going to buy a Coke, you see, one guy, he works in my office. Before he was married, every day he's buying Coke. He does not cook, he does every day. And he lived at the Kodesh, so he would cross and go and buy. Then one day he went, and the woman said, today you are coming to buy Coke. I refuse to sell it to you. So the guy was surprised, why? She said, well, my brother died of diabetes. My husband now is diabetic. So you, I'll not allow you to join them. I'm not selling to you. He settled the solitary in families. And the church could never have been dreamt of by us. When I said, how did God know what he was creating? How did God know that this is what we needed? And the Bible says that the body of Christ, there's the hand, there's the eye, there's the nose, and that the ear should not say to the eye, I don't need you. And the eye should not say to the toe or the little finger, I don't need you. You know? So if God has set us in a body, you see, there's the larger body, which is the body of Christ. Then there's the body, which is your church. And all of us have something to contribute to that body. So if you say, oh, when the blood gets here, I'll stop the circulation. It's not going to work. And every relationship has challenges. Wow. Amen, somebody. Yeah. Yes, Lady Reverend, you're not making us write notes. No, I'm just dialing your numbers, that's all. Every relationship has challenges. Do you know why Jeremiah 29:11 was written? Because of the way you think. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans of prosperity and not of disaster. To give you a future and to give you a hope. Why does he have to say that? Plans of prosperity or of peace, some version says, and not of evil. Because you always think that he has plans of evil. So he's always trying to change your mind about him. He could have said, oh, I just have plans of prosperity. But he says, and not of evil. To give you a future. And because sometimes you think, he won't give me a future. This God, I can't trust him. This God, he won't do the things that he has said. So he has to come and declare himself to you. For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. And then he comes to 1 Peter 5, says, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares about you. He could have said, just cast all your cares. But he has to add that he cares about you, because often when things go wrong, you say, this God at all, does he care? It is something that occurs to you. A lot. It occurs to you. And even David would go into the presence of God and say, why are the wicked prospering? They have spread their leaves. They are prospering. But as for me, things are not going on well for me. He said, when I entered the sanctuary, then I rather received a revelation that the wicked are standing in slippery places. And where they are standing is not sure. Amen. Amen. Now, if your relationship with God, remember, your relationship with God, God is perfect. And you are a sinner. And you still have a lot of problems. with God. How much more to imperfect people? God is perfect. You always think it. Does he care? Then he has to say, because I care for you. Did he die? Did he resurrect? Will he give me? Will he do what he said? You have all these evil thoughts about God. You and I. And he still loves us. He will be proving himself when he does a miracle. We are very excited. Oh God, you're so faithful. Then after that we forget. Jesus said, hey, I fed you with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Have you soon forgotten? But we soon forget. That's how we are. So then if your relationship with God, you have so many problems, how much more your relationship with your pastor? How much more your relationship with your lady pastor? How much more your relationship with your shepherd? And how much more your relationship with each other? And how much more your relationship with your wife? And how much more your relationship with your husband? And how much more your relationship with your children? Every relationship goes through so many things. So I do understand why sometimes when your relationship goes through something, you say, oh, Lady Reverend, enough is enough. If God were to say that to you, where will you stand? We look for perfection in things that we shouldn't look for perfection in. Amen? Yeah. The Bible says that in this tabernacle, we groan. In this temple, we will grow until Jesus comes. So things will not be perfect. But some of you, you are continually looking for perfection in an imperfect world. Say, when my wife gives me the food, it's cold. Is this? Is that? Is that? Hey, she's doing her best. The best she knows to do. I am not saying she shouldn't improve. But you can never marry a perfect wife. Amen. You say, oh, when I marry and then we are in the bedroom, she will do this and she will do that. Hey, it's your mind you are using. The person herself has her own will, her own mind, and her own ways. Then you are imagining because of the foolish things you have been watching. You say, oh, how this blonde girl is doing like this. My wife would do like this times two. You forget that the people on the screen have been paid to do what they are doing. And you forget that they live in Hollywood. I was watching a movie with my husband. He said to me, you see these movies? In the movies, always the women are the ones propositioning the men. So that when the men are going to marry, they feel that their wives will be calling them all the time. I'm like, really? Based on what? He said, you see the woman, you see James Bond? The women are always trying to sleep with James Bond. So I said, So is that the expectation of the brother? And he goes, oh, yes, it is. I'm like, but it's James Bond. And the girls are acting. It's not real life. Amen. Yeah. So they will do this. They will do this. Go and make her your wife and see. She will tell you that I just came from work. The work was the acting. Now real life begins. Amen, brothers. So we look for perfection in imperfection. The sisters the same. They are watching a movie. Some guy with some husky voice. And then he comes with flowers and perfume. This is the man I'd like to marry. He is acting. And he's being paid for it. And sometimes when he's giving the flowers, he doesn't do it right. So they say, cut. Go back. Cut. Rewind. Go back. Cut. Amen. So you are looking for imperfection in imperfection. And it leads to a lot of problems. A lot of problems, both male and female. You see, some problems are there and can be solved. It's true. But some problems, and many, are man-made. Man-made. You see the woman, her hair is like, when she does this, it shakes like this. Hey, I want my wife to have this hairstyle. Your wife's hair naturally, when she does this, it stands like the rock of Gibraltar. Amen! So now why are you expecting when she does it? It's because it's borrowed hair. Amen! So we build our lives on fantasies that don't exist. Again, yesterday I was reading the Daily Mail. It's a newspaper. And there was this guy who said that he has set up a website for married people who want to commit adultery. And that since he did, he has even become a billionaire. So he has taken a picture with his wife. And then this reporter has gone to interview him. And says, okay, so you are providing this service. So would you like your wife to use this at all? He said, it's a business I'm doing. I've not said whether it's right or wrong. But for my wife, of course I'll be devastated. Then the reporter said to him that, when I went to look at your site, a lot of the people, they feel inadequate now. They are asking for part of their body to be extended, part of their bodies to be enlarged on your website. So it looks like you are creating some hyper expectation that is rather making people see their deficiencies, which is not in the context of marriage. This is a secular newspaper and is writing that. You are creating things that don't exist and that the security in marriage, your spouse accepts you as you are. The person has written that. But when you go and follow these things, he says that you have to be up to the market. And I said to myself, you know, God creates things. And then we get up and create our own versions. And we think that we are wiser than God. Everything God creates, Satan creates another. When God creates Adam and Eve, Satan creates Adam and Steve. We'll come to that verse. And let me ask you, why is it that when Adam and Steve are walking, one has to be, I'm coming. Oh, are you calling me? Why? Because God made them male and female. Why does one always have to be female? Why? Because we cannot change the design of nature. And man is made for woman, the Bible says. And that is why I went to a program in Atlanta. Men in skirts and blouse. And some of them have padded their chest. And they are holding a handbag. And they are and I said, Satan, you are a liar. Because God made us male and female. Even when we say we are Adam and Steve, one has to be Eve. And when even it's two women, one has to be Adam. She cuts her hair short, she wears some jeans, and because male and female made he us. We go round and round, and we find out that God's word is true. And we don't have to use our experience. You see, sometimes people are molested. Sometimes people are introduced to the wrong things at the wrong stages of their lives. But that experience is not you. You are not what you experience. So you may have had that experience, but it doesn't make you Steve. And it doesn't make you Eve. You see, Joyce Meyer, this great preacher, from the age of 5 to 18, her father slept with her consistently, nonstop. And even once he took her to a nightclub. I mean, when she's saying this, you can't listen. It's too painful. Took her to a nightclub and a policeman, he parked somewhere by a nightclub and was sleeping with her. And then a policeman came and said, you've been arrested for underage. And I said, oh, would you also like to have a go? And the policeman also joined. Yeah. So because of that, she was in a hurry to leave home. She was in a hurry to... So at 18, the first man she met, she just married him. And when she married the man, also another kind of whims, problems. In the end, she was pregnant. The man left her. They went to take a woman just across the road, opposite her house, and moved in with her. Brothers, too, you can be heartless. Heartless. I mean, even if you've gone to take somebody, why opposite where I live? Why? May God forgive all brothers. So then, with time, the guy went to jail. The marriage failed. And she had one child. What was she going to do? Then she met her current husband, who was also praying. And his prayer topic was that, God, give me a woman with problems so that I can help her. And Joyce Meyer said, if he had known the reason, what was going to happen, he wouldn't have prayed that prayer topic because she had a lot of problems. And so all that affected her. She began to go to church, whatever, but she didn't know God in that way. But coming to know God properly set her free. And today she can preach about it. So you are not your experience. You may have had a bad experience. You may be introduced to sexuality in the wrong way, but it doesn't make you that thing. Amen. Your identity is in Christ. The Bible says the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in the Lord, and we are complete in Him. We complete. So, why do you use your experience to say, I'm this or I'm that? Romans chapter 1. We are still talking about the Christian family. I'm coming back. Help me, Jesus. Romans chapter 1. It's a long one, but I'll try and pick up. 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So that we hold the truth, but our lifestyle is some way. Anyway, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Let's look at 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It starts with our thoughts, and then it goes into our hearts. Okay? So when they became vain in their imaginations, and then their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what we are doing. We are trying to be wise. To say, oh, this and this are the same. You know? Adam can marry Steve and Adam can marry Eve. It's the same. And we should all have the same rights, isn't it? So professing to know God, to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. People changed what God was for His creation. And we've done the same. It may not be animals, but it's human beings we are now worshipping. So we've changed the things that are incorruptible into corruptible. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. So it starts with lust in our own hearts. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie? So the truth of God is that marriage is sacred. Marriage is God's idea. Marriage is Adam and Eve. And we change the truth of God into a lie. So yes, there must be a truth. There might be, there is a truth of God's word. But you can change the truth into a lie. By saying, oh, this truth is not truth. You make it a lie. It's like, it's a lie. So God has His truth that He's presented, and we are changing it into a lie. Where are we? Okay. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature We serve the human being more than the creator. So those who have been created, we serve ourselves more than he who created us. So we don't care about his opinion. We don't care what he says. And we say, I'm going to worship this body, whatever it feels like it should do. Whatever it wants, it should flow. Whatever it desires, it should do. And we are created in God's image. So God will never force his will down your throat. He has his free will. He gave you also your free will. Choose. And that's why throughout scripture, Moses will be saying, Joshua will be saying, choose you this day whom you serve. Moses said, I said before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose. Because the freedom of choice, God has never taken it away from man. And some people say, well, if God knew that there would be sin, why did he allow it? Because you are created in his image and he gives you the freedom of choice. Everybody choose what you want. Even when it's not good, choose. Amen? Amen? So we worship the creature more than the creator. That's where we are at now. And the creator doesn't come in at all. 26. And when we begin to do that for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. When your understanding becomes darkened, you start to worship the flesh, feelings, anything you feel is right, do it. I read in the same Daily Mail some time ago, not long ago, that Germany is considering bringing back the law on bestiality, that is sleeping with animals, because it is now rising up. And all this for what? The creature, the flesh. It has no limits. You go and go and go, and after that too, you are not happy. When the creature goes away from the creator, there can never be fulfillment. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. So now what you see, say, how can somebody love, how can Steve love Adam like this? Because God has given them up. So that affection is vile. But God has allowed them to have whatever affection they want to have. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Show me an animal. Who is Adam and Steve? Show me. Against nature, God gave them up. So when people become powerful and they are enacting laws and they are doing this, it's because God has given them up to vile affections. Do whatever you want to do. Just do it. And it's self-destructive. Just do. Because I've tried. I'm trying to win you. I'm trying to... No. You have dark imaginations. You profess to know me, but you are not serious. You don't want to give up anything. There's no sacrifice anywhere. Everything the flesh feels like doing, must do. It's a time of freedom. He's giving us up to vile affections. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. Natural use. Natural use. Bend in their lust one toward another, men with men. Working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. It's an error. So when God gives you up, these are the things that happen to you. You burn in your affliction one for another. You say, oh, I feel it, so it's right. What it is that God has given you up. God has given us up to our vile affections. Amen. And all these, I see, are attacks against the family. Because these unions don't create children. And then we say, oh, our population is going down. Oh, we need more people to give birth. Oh, let's give more incentives to mothers. Let's give them free milk. Let's give them... But what will produce the children? You have changed its use. And you think, to hell with God. Well, he already gave you up long ago. He's given us up to our vile affections. So when I see that, I say, God, have mercy on us. We have gone far. We
have left you and I know that the end will not be good. Not the end as in Jesus coming home. That the end of the decisions we take. Then later they come and produce statistics. Oh, this has happened. And when you do this, you get this. And this. If you looked in the Bible, you see all that already. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Amen. So it seems right. But yeah, whatever you feel, do. If you're a woman, you are married, you see another man at work, you like him, just do, because the creature is more important than the creator in what he's saying. It's more important. Anything you feel like doing is right. And they say, oh, you can't take people's rights from them. How come you make laws that say education is compulsory? You are taking my right for me to be educated or not to be educated. How come that one? Yeah, why don't you let me choose whether I want to stay illiterate or literate? Why do you as a state make compulsory laws that I should go to school? Is it by force? But when it comes to this, they say, oh, you can't take away, but you have taken my right to choose to be educated or not. And that one you feel is justified. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, we don't want to think about him. We don't want to think about his perspective. We don't want to think about what would Jesus do. We don't want to think about what would God say. And Satan enters everywhere, including the church. So now everybody, every type of person has a pastor. Every type of person has a Bible. And every type of person has a verse to quote. And because the body they created, we also don't know our word. We are swayed by everything. As they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. First of all, he gave them over to vile affections. Then the next step, a reprobate mind. A mind that doesn't produce good things. Bad thoughts. Evil thoughts. So, oh, you don't like to retain me in your knowledge. Nature hates a vacuum. So if I'm not going to be in your knowledge, something else will take over. And that's a reprobate mind. To do those things which are not convenient. To do those things which are not convenient. Because everything starts from the mind. So when God is talking to you, don't do this. Marriage is my idea. Marriage must be done this way. Then you say, no, God, you don't know. You are sitting in heaven. Marriage is very difficult. Marriage is very difficult. So God, I have invented my own and I've found a way out. And God, I'm going to work it out. He'll give you over to a reprobate mind. A mind that doesn't want to retain God in its knowledge. Sometimes I counsel people and I say, look, your relationship with God, Christ, is not easy. Why did you think marriage would be easy? Why? Because of the ideas, the films, the movies you've watched, the books you've read, you are expecting things that nobody can become. Amen. Even you, look at yourself, you are always failing your own self, disappointing yourself. You set your alarm, you say, I'll wake up at 4. When the alarm goes, either you don't hear or you hit it as if it's coming to tell you something you don't want. When you are sending a text, you send to the wrong person. You are constantly disappointing yourself. You see, once there was a transfer in one of our churches, and a church member who felt she had gotten used to her pastor was not happy about it. So she was not flowing with the new pastor at all. But the new pastor says, today we are going to do this, she will count herself out. So then in her anger, she was sending a text to the former pastor. Dear pastor, church is not the same at all without you. Since this new pastor came, he's changing things. And she was so angry that when she finished, she pressed send to the old pastor, to the new pastor. So the new pastor said, dear pastor, since this new pastor came, said, it's me. He has done this. So he called the sister and said, oh, I think your text, you sent it to the wrong person. See, Pastor, forgive me, please, Pastor. Pastor, forgive me. Every day you say you are doing New Year resolution. And in the New Year, you break your resolution more than anything else. You are calling your children. Your child is called Jack. Then you'll be saying, John. George, it's you. Go and call Jack. You are always disappointing yourself. But you are very lenient with yourself. But when another human being is disappointing you, why are you surprised? Because even yourself, you can't control yourself. You say, my year of prayer, my year of the Holy Ghost. You are not able to wake up. And even when you wake up, hey, kabalaba, you are gone. So why do you think that when you marry somebody, he will not fail? He will not disappoint you. He will never make a mistake. He will never miss it. It's a wrong premise. And it's not going to work. But if you expect, you say, I tell the people, as you come to the altar, say, I take thee to be my lawfully wedded husband, who will hurt me big time, who will disappoint me big time, and who will not meet my expectations sometimes. They should add it to the vow. I, James, also, take you whatever, to be my wife, for better or for worse, when you give me food that is so salty, I cannot eat it. When you don't bless me in the bedroom, I will still love you. Somebody came to that. I said, this my sister, mommy, I can't. I said, do you think for better or for worse is a rhyme? For better or for worse. It's like, it's a rhyme. Something we are looking for nice things to say. God gave them over. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Being filled. You see, you came in stages. He gave you up to vile affections. Then you didn't retain him in your knowledge. He gave you up to a reprobate mind. Then before you know, you are filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate. They always debate. What do you think about this new law? What do you think people should debate? Deceit, malignity, whispers, and the list goes on. How did you end up there? You did not retain God in your knowledge. Amen. The family is God's idea. And we should live it according to the way God has said. Not according, you see, okay. Proverbs chapter 3. I'll be ending soon. Proverbs chapter 3. It's no frills, you know, just relax. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3. Are you there? Trust in the Lord. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. We have a tendency to lean. To lean on is to depend on. To lean on is to put your whole hope in something. And we put a lot of hope in our understanding. And that's why Christian families fail. Because understanding. The Bible says, trust in the Lord and lean not unto your own understanding. Your own understanding. Everybody has their own understanding. Some of you, your own understanding is based on your experiences from home. Your father used to beat your mother big time. So you think that every man is called to be a Mike Tyson in his home. Instead of Abraham. Amen. So your own understanding is that you solve problems with a muscle. But even in boxing, Featherweight does not find heavyweight. Does not fight heavyweight. Your wife is featherweight. Then you have made yourself a bully. Heavyweight, you are beating featherweight. There's no point in it. Lean not unto your own understanding. It doesn't mean don't think. By saying that the human way sometimes of looking at things will not help you. Your own understanding is, he did A, I also do B. She doesn't treat me right, I also not treat her right. She did this to me, I'll never forgive her. She did this to me, in fact, if I say I'll forgive her, I will be lying. Hey. If you are saying it in a secular place, fine. But in the church of God, if I say I'll forgive her, I'm lying. Really? Should Christ also forgive you? Why? Lean not to your own understanding. Your own understanding says, you know, it's not worth it. It's not going to work ever. Once this thing has happened, your marriage is spoiled forever. But the Bible says, what is impossible with men is possible with God. You see, one sister in one of our churches, she was born again, her husband was not. And every day this, every day that, it was tough. And she decided she would leave. She had been praying for her husband to be born again, for God to touch him, move him, roll him high. So she decided to leave. I know her very well. But at that time, I didn't know her. And she left. Soon after she left, her husband became born again. And came to join the same church and the same branch. Hey! Moving, new believer school, he's there. When the doors open, he's there, ushering, doing this. Real life story, up to today. The man became a shepherd. She was looking at them. One day she was in church, no marriage bans. Brother so-so-and-so is marrying sister so-so-and-so. So she said to me, sister mommy, the prayers I pray. Somebody has come to read the prayers I pray. I said, just before you were going to read. Just before you were going to get the harvest. Patience escaped you. And now when they come to church, you see the man. This man who was so wicked, doing nothing. Now taking the baby seat. Oh, she was telling me, hey, I have to leave that branch. I have to leave. This man who was so wicked, he was cleaned by the Holy Spirit. Now the pastors will be saying, oh, if I have any reliable shepherd, it's brother this. She said, if only I had known that after all these years of praying, God was just on the brink. I would have held my peace. But, of course, it's not easy. And I'm not advocating that you stand for everything. But as I tell people, you know, you may not have to divorce, but you may have to run. Especially if the person is pounding you, beating you all the time. You can see that your life is in danger. You may not even live to look after your children. Then that one, you run away. To a safe house. You can't be there like that. If I lean on my own understanding, I will say be there, but Charlie. You cannot be there like that. But even when you've gone, it doesn't mean the marriage is over. And people can counsel and work on it and bring it together. Amen. So this sister told me, and I said, hey. And every time when they tell me this, I said, I'll use you to preach. So use me to preach. The brother has become a nice brother. She said, what annoys her when they are having this January, February, when we are praying, sweet influence of the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be walking there. Lean not to your own understanding. When we lean to our own understanding, we divide the family, we destroy the family. Eve relied on her own understanding. So when she looked at the fruit, said, it's good to eat. It's true that it will make one wise. And then she just took it. Based on her senses. Our understanding is often based on our senses and what we feel and see. But a Christian does not walk by senses. If you're going to walk by senses, you just go on the road and say, this morning my wife has annoyed me. Pa. Then you see a very sweet woman who is nice. You say, she is the one. You are leaning on your foolish understanding. Amen. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct that. But the verse I want to hop to is verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Often, we feel very wise in our own eyes. He did this and that, so I also did this. Later when they did this and that, so I also did this. Later when they did this, you see, don't fight your battles like an unbeliever. Fight your battles like somebody who lives in the spiritual realm. Fight your battles like somebody who believes in God. Fight your battles like somebody who knows there's a spiritual dimension. But we have become like the world. Same remedies, same situations, and same understandings. It's not going to work. Be not wise in your own eyes. Because when you look at the thing, you say, I also need to be wise, but in your own eyes. Yes, you can be wise like Abigail. But that is the wisdom that comes from above. But wise in your own eyes is different. So fear God and depart from evil. The fear of God is not in the church anymore. At all. We do whatever we like. We live however we like. If in walking with God, you have never come to a point where something was painful and yet you still did it, then I don't know which God you are walking with. Because as you walk with God, there will be difficult moments. It's not every time you feel like forgiving everybody. Hey. Some people, you feel like forgiving them, but you don't want to see them again. In this world. And unfortunately, you may be married to them. And that's why the scripture comes in that, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear God. Not the person, God. And depart from evil. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. I always say, it's good that he added us unto the Lord. Otherwise, it will not have been easy. Every time we are submitted, if we see Jesus, it makes it easy. As unto the Lord. But when you look at the person, and how he has misbehaved, he does not deserve your submission. But if you do it as unto the Lord, then whether the person somersaults, hops, whatever, is between you and his God. And yours is also between you and your God. Unbelievers don't speak in tongues. Unbelievers don't cast out devils. But some unbelievers live by the principles of God's word. And are able to create successful homes. Amen? But some of us who profess to know God, we are not doers of the word. We are hearers only. Amen. And when I was thinking about it, I said, God, how can you tell somebody, submit unto your own husband as unto the... Because a lot of us do. We are good at submitting unto somebody else's husband. So I'm surprised that God put our own husband. God, he knows us and how we are. When your pastor goes, yes, pastor. Yes, please. When your husband goes, what? When your father calls you, you hear young people and you say, He talks too much. He's calling me for what? Didn't? And then when your pastor goes, yes, pastor. Pastor, what time should I be at the church? Pastor, okay. When your husband asks you for tea, say, didn't you see the kettle? When your boss asks you for tea, you say, boss, which type? Do you want green tea, chamomile, Earl Grey, or black tea, or English breakfast? And that's why the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, as unto the Lord. And surprisingly, when something is submissive, usually, the greater thing would take advantage of it, maltreat it, and abuse power. But then God comes and says, as she submitted to you, love her. As Christ loved the church. I mean, I think the brother's own is more difficult. It didn't say, husband, love your wife as is depicted on movies. Love your wife as you saw in your home. Because most of you didn't see good things in your home. And that's why you are misbehaving like that. But it's time to change things. It's husbands, not boyfriends. Because when you are a boyfriend or girlfriend, you woo us. And you talk to us softly. And then when we say something you didn't even hear, you say, honey, what did you say? But when you marry us, and then we say something, you say, speak up, I can't hear. Speak up, I can't hear. So boyfriends often don't need admonition to love us. Because you love her anyway, because you have something at stake. You are trying to woo her. But when you become a husband, the Bible says, husbands, love your secretaries. No. Love your girlfriends. No. Love your shepherds. No. Love your wives. As Christ loved the church. And gave himself. He wasn't forced. He gave himself. It was a willing surrender. And gave himself for it. You give yourself. You see, I often say that. They say, bottom line, men are more interested in sex than women. There are a few variations. And those few variations should lay hands on the many women who are somewhere. But, what was I saying? Yeah, so men, bottom line is that they are interested in sex, you see. Now, sex is something that you can count. So in our marriage manual, we have something we call a sexometer. And then we ask how often, and it should be proper. And then when it's few and far between, yeah, I asked Bishop Saki asked somebody, since you married your husband, how often have you had sex with him? She said 1.5. But because you can count it. So they say, when they come for counseling, they say, let me open. My wife is very mean. So she doesn't bless me in the bedroom. She does it. When you ask the wife, how many times, I don't remember. Or some weeks ago. Or then we say, you don't have to do that. The Bible says don't defraud. But the way a woman is to be loved, it cannot be quantified. So there's no romanticometer. So we can't ask you, how often do you sit to talk to your wife? How often do you connect with her? How often do you shoulder her needs? You say, oh, when I come from work. When you come from work, you are tired. The remote control is in your hands. And you are changing channel after channel. And that's your World Cup. So because a woman's needs cannot be quantified, she looks like she doesn't have a case. So when we ask you, how often do you show her that you care? You see, it's general. It can't be, you can't count it. But for sex, you can count it. So what the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. It's not a poem. God is damn serious about it. As Christ loved the church and gave himself. But you never give anything about yourself. You never give your time. You never give your attention. You never give your care. You never give your money. You never give anything. But the Bible is not saying even just give things. So it's like yourself, your very self, give it. Husbands, I'm dialing your number. Next verse. That he might sanctify, that's the body, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You sanctify your wife, who is likened to the body of Christ, by the cleansing of the water of the word. How many times when you are speaking to your wife, is it with the water of the word? Or is it your own words? And you never do this. You are a useless woman. You are this. You are that. When she was your girlfriend, she was not useless. Since she married you, her value has gone down. That's why today you are calling her useless. That he might present it to himself. Husbands, whatever you put in a woman, you get out of her. And whatever Christ does for the body is to present the church to himself. It's a present to yourself. Derek Prince, that great Bible teacher, used to say that the Bible says the glory of a man is Christ and the glory of the woman is the man. So when he wants to know what type of husband you are, he looks at your wife. If your wife always looks sullen, sad, whatever, then he knows that the glory, you know, is not working. That he might present it to himself. When you take time and love a woman and show her care and concern, you are presenting it to yourself. Your home will become a different home. As for me, I don't think I'm biased, but I think it takes very little to make a woman happy. Very little. Appreciation, care. Every time she cleans the kitchen, she cooks. You never say anything. When it's dirty, then you start shouting, why are you so dirty? Why is the room so dirty? Why is that? But when it's clean, you don't see. When her hair is not nice, that's when you say, ah, today what have you done? But when it's nice, you don't remember to say. The Bible says that he may present to himself a glorious church, not having any spot. Every pimple is your doing. Every pimple on your wife's face, you did it. Because Christ is presenting to the church himself without spot or wrinkle. Stress and worry makes women grow old fast. It gives us wrinkles. And the Bible is saying the man should present the church without wrinkles. Or any such thing. Anything that resembles spots, wrinkles, that changes our demeanor. God doesn't want that. But that it should be holy.
and without blemish. Sasa, you think our holiness depends on us? And you think our having a blemish or not? But the Bible says it depends on you. It's Christ who is constantly washing us with the water of the word. Oh, not this way, that way. Oh, why don't you do this? Oh, obedience is better than sacrifice. Oh, he's washing us. So that when he comes, he will present to himself a glorious church. Wow. You've tried criticism for 10 years. It has not worked. Try praise and admiration. Every year you are criticizing. Every day you are criticizing. Day in and out. Why have you become so fat? Why have you become... She was slim before she married you. And when you decided to make her a baby factory, she needed the hormones and the fat to be able to bring forth your children. And so if anything at all, you should help her. Right, so go to the gym. Look at you. You know? A lady came to tell me that when she's in the bedroom, the husband will say, what mass of fat is this? And then you expect her to be a blessing. You have killed her soul. She can't. She's not like you. Excuse me to say, I was in the pastor's meeting and I was telling the pastor, I said, unfortunately, women don't have anything to show whether they are excited. In the bedroom, do you understand? A woman looks the same. But when men are not happy, it will affect everything so you can see. But when you are coming to a woman, because she doesn't have that, you assume that she's always ready. But if she was like you, you will see that every day, everything is black. Doesn't work. Because of the way you have treated her. Bishop Saki says, hey, I've not thought about it. Without spot. We are all not doing our part. And we are all very self-centered. And we are all doing what we want to do. But if we have the mind that Christ has redeemed us so that we will suffer, then we know that in this thing called marriage, we are going to suffer for the other partner. And if everybody will suffer for each other, it will square out and we'll be okay. But we are not like that. If the woman says, you know, it's not about me. It's just about pleasing my husband and making him happy. And there's a man to say, it's not about me. It's just pleasing my wife. And it will work. But we have our reprobate mind. And we lean on our own understanding. And God cannot reach us. Amen. And marriage is not just here to make us happy. Marriage is supposed to bring about God's covenant. That's why God said to Abraham, my covenant is with you and your seed forever. Amen? Amen? I'm about to wrap up here. No frills. Amen. And when we do that, by the grace of God, the children can grow up in the right atmosphere. But if every time you are shouting at each other, you may not speak, but you are telling the child that's how to behave. And it is said that we often do what we see more than what we hear. And that's why Satan is attacking the home, attacking in this way, so that the next generation will also be contaminated. So that God's covenant cannot be carried on. That's what Satan is trying to do. Amen, somebody. Amen. I'm trying to extract and then... Okay, Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at Genesis 18:19, then we'll come to Colossians chapter 3. Genesis, that must be easy to find. Genesis 18, verse 19. Let's read from 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after God. After God. After him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Amen. God says, I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him. Do we live in such a way that we can command our children after us? Can we say to them like Paul, imitate me as I imitate Christ? As men, we are supposed to be the heads of our households, but that's not happening. The women have become the priests. But that is not God's ideal situation. God said, I know Abraham. Does God know you? It's a long time since he saw you. He has even forgotten what you look like. You haven't been in his presence for a long time. But for Abraham, God could say, I know Abraham. That he will command his children and his household. Because sometimes your family is more than just your children. Your household. After him. Not after God. After Abraham. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. And when that is done, then God will bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. Amen. We are not seeing some promises of God because we have not fulfilled the first part. We are not commanding our household. We are debating with our household. We are discussing with our household. There are some things at a certain age a child cannot grasp. And it's not the discussion stage. You tell a child, go to school. Why is that when it comes to church, you want to discuss? You tell a child, do your homework. Why is it when it comes to quiet time, you want to discuss it? So, will you have your quiet times? Why don't you have your quiet times? Why? You give a child medicine by force. When the child says it's bitter, you say it's good for you. When it comes to the things of God, you say, well, you decide what faith you want. You decide what you believe in. Why doesn't he decide whether he wants to take the medicine or not? Why doesn't he decide whether he wants to do the homework or not? Why doesn't he decide whether he wants to go to school today or not? When it comes to spiritual things, I would say, you decide. Even driving. You say when a child is not, I don't know whether it's 16 here or 18, he shouldn't drive. But when it comes to spiritual things, you say, drive your own life. How can he? I know Abraham. Parenting is not easy, I know. And especially parenting teenagers. And I think that we just have to continue praying, because even God, the perfect parent, look at the children he inherited. Look at Adam and Eve. Big time rebellion. How much more human beings? It just takes the grace of God. But I think that one powerful thing we can do is to intercede for our children. Pray for your children. Because you can't be everywhere where they are at. And Satan sends so many agents to their lives in the schools. Your child is often innocent, doesn't know so many things. Then a friend will call and say, have you seen this? Why don't you try this website? Have you seen that? So even things that he has not thought about. Somebody is busy evangelizing. I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him. Why do you always ask your child in the morning, have you brushed your teeth? If you haven't brushed your teeth, go and brush it. When you come from school, have you washed your hands? Or you don't ask, have you had your quiet time? Have you prayed today? Have you read your Bible? What did God's word say? I was talking to one of my children at a certain stage in that child's life, and I said, just as I will look for the best school for you, I also have to look for the best spiritual climate for you. I can't just say, oh, go anywhere, do anything. No. Just like I look for a good school, I go to all and say, let's choose this. Let's choose that in the same way. I have to be able to choose the right things for you, also spiritually. But we say, oh, go to the best university. Go to Yale. Go to Harvard. Go to what are the best universities in Switzerland? Go to MIT. Go here. I'll pay. I'll sponsor. I'll do everything. When it comes to spiritual, I say, you want to sleep in on Sunday and do whatever you want. I thank my God for the type of father I had. Because he told me, in this house, we go to church on Sundays. Just as we go to school every day, on Sundays, we go to church. In this house. Because I was too little to decide. And to know what faith was about. But because he put me on that path, it made it easier. In this house, on Sunday, we go to church. Everything else, you say, in this house we do this. In this house we eat dinner together. In this house we observe Christmas this way. In this house, but when it comes to spiritual things, do what you like. I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do just. At a certain stage, children are grown ups and you cannot decide for them. But at the stage where you can decide for them, let's teach them about God. Otherwise, the world will teach them other things. Some of you, when your children turn 16, then you are worried that they must know how to drink. They must know how to sleep with a woman. But what is important is they must know the word of God. Because there are so many currents that come in life. But the word of God keeps you stable. It is not everywhere I was at that my parents were at. But because I found Christ early, it was this, in this house, we go to church every Sunday. In this house, it wasn't even a problem. So by the age of 9, I'm born again. Not because I'm a superwoman, whatever, because my father said, in this house, we go to church on Sundays. So on one such Sunday, I went to church. My Sunday school teacher made an altar call. I lifted my hands and I gave my life to Christ. So as I was growing up, all the issues around me, things happening. I even tried to become a guy. It didn't work. I tried to become wealthy. It didn't work. When a boy raps me, I want to say yes. The word doesn't come. Because the Holy Ghost, because of that, my father's rule, arrested me early. So then now I was doing things not because of my father, but because of the God I knew and loved. So when I got to the university and a boy will come and say, oh, would you mind spending the night in my room? You have to, I say, hey, I'm a child of God. Oh, in this house, we go to church. So you come to that point when it's not what your mother said. It's not what your father said. But it's what God. That's what keeps you. Because when you are in uni, your father is not there with you. When people are doing all sorts of things, your friends are doing all sorts of, your father is not there with you. Your mother is not there with you. But because by the grace of God, I met God early. Even when I wanted to commit some sins, I'm just unable. I just become immobilized. I cannot. I go to a party. The boy says he's dancing smoochy with me. I can't move. I cannot hold his waist. I just feel that I'm a child of God. That thing always, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. It rings in you. Sometimes you may even seem to lose it, but you come back. You know, my dad died, my brothers were writing a tribute, and they had gone into the world from, apart from the, in this house, they still did their part. But they wrote to their tribute, every single one of them. We didn't compare tributes. And one of them said, Daddy, no matter how far we went away, the compass of Scripture and what you showed us about God would always navigate us back to where it all began. That's what they said. That's what they said. Why? Because he commanded his household after the things. My father was not even born again at the time. He was just a religious person. With time, he got born again. And just before he died, every day he was confessing. So my mother said, you have a lot of hidden sins there. The way you are. The way you are always confessing. Just before he died, he was always confessing. My mother said, every morning you confess. After you confess, you have a lot of hidden sins you haven't told me about. You know? Yeah, he kept telling me, Mommy, I want to go to heaven. You see, this man, he has come to borrow my money. He has not paid. This one, he has borrowed my money. I've decided I will not ask them because I want to go to heaven. And when he died, he wrote on his files, please do not ask them to repay. And then I heard, because I want to go to heaven, because he told me that. Amen. If we don't start, it's not going to start. Sometimes we kick against the church. The church that's bringing up your church, they do it too much. There's a lot of disco. There's a lot of drugs. There's a lot of drunkenness. So when you have a church that caters to young people, lift up your hands and say amen. Because things don't just work automatically. Things don't work automatically. It's just the grace of God. You see, Pastor Kaka, Bishop has come to my house, Prophet Kaka. Said, and I said, my beloved has come a long way from Accra, another city. So take this water hose. I'm holding it. I was about to do, and I saw him breakfast. We are sitting, and he says, okay. By the time my beloved has finished his breakfast, he says, let's go and say hello to your sister. Because that's where he was staying. So I said, okay, we come out, and the car is not there. I am so embarrassed. I don't know what to do. My husband, to number one, he got born again very early. Number two, he didn't have any brothers. So he has not seen this before. So then he just tells us, is that how your brothers are? They are very wild, though. Then he comes back. When he comes back, my husband is so surprised. He just says, okay, let's just go inside. So we go in and we sit down. And then Bishop says to Prophet Kaka, God came to die for you. Salvation message. And after he says, would you like to give your life to God? This is my brother. I had witnessed to him more than a dozen times. And then he says, yes, brother Dad, I want to give, I think he was a pastor, Pastor Dad, I want to give my life to Christ. So he says the sinner's prayer. And that day begins, everything changed. And then he is friends with people like Pastor Marus, who was also equally bad. He had curls, an earring. And incidentally, when he took that car, Bishop's car, he went to pick his guys in the neighborhood, Prophet Silas. Pastor Ebo, who is today's director. Charles Kujo in Texas, who is now a head usher. All of the footage. So he says to me, I think there was some anointing in the car. Because we all got born again. And when he was in the car, he slaughtered the bishop's music. And he was griefed. So his people said, this music, we don't know it. Somebody's car. You have gone in the neighborhood to pick people. And then he said, it's some guy who is chasing my sister. Who is playing these damn songs? Not knowing you will be born again. When he got born again, it was so dramatic. Jesus just appeared to him and said, I'm calling you full time. The day you are born again, I'm calling you full time. And if you don't do it, I'll kill you. Easy. So he always says to me, when Bishop preaches, and people are like, should I respond? And they have that luxury. Is do or die. Do you know how often my mother talked? My mother would say, Mr. Mwaku says he saw you smoking. Mr. Mwaku, does he know me?
Does he know the color of t-shirt I was wearing? And his twin, Pastor Payne, the same. He's a band boy. He sings. And today when I go to America and he's leading worship, he's a pastor. I said, in this house, we go to church. So sometimes it looks like it's not working. Or it looks like, oh, the person has taken another direction. But God has a way of bringing the person, you see, the seed of God's word. It doesn't die. So when I see my brothers, I have hope for a lot of people. When I see Pastor Maris, I have hope for all of you. That God is faithful. And now people ask my mother, how can you have 5 children and 4 are pastors? How can... And my mother says, I didn't do anything. But I think what they did was to enforce certain things. And then also they always had morning devotion in the church. I don't do that. I rather tell my children, have quiet time. And then I ask them, what did you learn? And all that, you know. But they had morning devotion in the house. My father would sing. My mother would read the scripture. And everybody would say, they are mine. Bring your mind Bible study. And then that would be it. And that seed never dies. I know Abraham. That he will command his children after me. Amen. And lastly, we've talked about husbands, we've talked about wives, we've talked about bringing up children, but children also have a responsibility. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. I think I said that earlier. Finally. This one is really finally. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Amen. Now the Bible says, children, obey your parents in some things. Obey your parents in all things. Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Because some of your parents, if you were to obey them in all things, you will end up not obeying the Lord. But it's saying in all things that are not against the Lord, obey. And I always tell my children, it's not everything that I can give you 25 reasons why I'm telling you this. 26 reasons why you must do this. I just know that this is the way. So do it. I may not have the opportunity to give you the 30 reasons. But obey your parents in all things. You will tie that in with Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. Amen. So if your father is offering you alcohol, drugs, that's not in the Lord. You can't obey that. But in all other things, sometimes you are busy coming to church, but you don't obey at home. Amen. You don't do anything in the house. Every day you say, meeting, 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 meeting. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they shall see your good works and give glory to God. Where are the good works? Amen, young people. If you really say you've met Jesus and Jesus has touched you, let us see it in the way you live. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right. Your parents have made many mistakes that sometimes they can't share with you. And they are trying to avoid those mistakes for you. And you think they are trying to control you. You are processing wrongly. Why? Are they looking for a kingdom? Look, it's very difficult. We wish we didn't have to talk. Because talking is also difficult. Come, go, have you done this? Wash up. Why? That is very tiring. We would like to leave you on your own. But we know that it will not end well. And we parents ourselves have made some mistakes. And we want to avoid that for you. And then you struggle with us. When we say one, you say five. When we are talking, we don't finish talking, you are talking. And when I didn't say that you make yourself. You have an attitude. When they call you, every time you are doing something like that, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? If Jesus was called by his mother Mary, would he have an attitude? If Jesus was told, come and do the dishes, would he say, every day, every day? If Jesus was called by his mother Mary, he got angry, would he slap her? Like you do? You're so disrespectful. The parent who has provided a roof for you, provides for you, you are told that it's your right. It's not every parent who cares. And it's not every parent who takes the effort or makes the effort to make you turn out well. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's just right. Just do it. Amen. Amen. It's not everything we can explain with diagrams. Amen. We see some boy, he's sitting there, he's coming, and we say, hey, I don't think this boy is good for you. Say, where do you know him from? Why do you judge him? Why do you judge him? And then later, you come home crying, mommy, he slapped me, now you are married. And if you had just listened, we may not always be right, but we always mean well. Amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Amen. I don't know why the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children. I think women are more tender most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time. So fathers are the strong people. They are usually the leaders in the home. And sometimes they can be very harsh. But you need a father. My father was very strong. When I say I'm going for a party, you say I'm dropping you. I'm taking you. I said, Daddy, there are no parents there. I'm in secondary school, high school. This thing that you are taking, there are no parents. He says, I don't care. And he says he's giving us a ride. My sister and I, the way he takes us, we reach the party. He says, okay, so 30 minutes. I'm waiting for you. Now we have arrived. We don't know whether we should get down. We don't know. We think our friends will laugh at us. We don't know what to do. So we get down. 30 minutes. 30 minutes. We are dancing. And then somebody taps us. Your father is waiting for you. Your father is waiting. So the next time people invite us, we don't feel like going. When my husband calls me, I think my father overdid it a bit. When my husband calls me in university, yes. Who are you? So you mention your name. Okay, so where are you calling from? From Accra? What? Who is your father? And my father is Mr. What does he do for a living? Oh, okay. And who is your mother? You answer all this, then you say, and what are you calling my daughter for? So please, I was just calling. Hey, young man, at 7 p.m., it's very late. Why do you call my daughter so late? I'm sorry, young man. She has to sleep. Boom. And he doesn't call you to tell you that he has told your friend this. Says later, when you meet your friend, or when he's not at home and the phone rings, then the friend will tell you. Those days, no mobile phone. Your friend will tell you that he called. What time? Oh, 7. Your father says it was early. This and that and that. It was a bit overdone. When a boy comes to visit me, children, are you listening? My father will say, okay, so what's your name? Duke. So you're looking for my daughter. Mommy! So I come. Okay, he says he's looking for you. He's standing there. He says he's looking for you, so chat now. some of my friends, they'll intentionally take a science notebook. And they'll say, oh, we are coming to discuss some whatever with them. So when he calls, they'll say, okay, he says he's coming to discuss. Young man, what did you say? Photosynthesis. Okay, discuss. Then he's standing there. Discuss what you have come to discuss. But in all of it, God taught me not to be rebellious. I didn't agree to all his strict measures, but at the same time, I was not rude and rebellious. Amen. When I was getting married, my father said to my husband, as for me, I'll tell you the truth about all my children. And as for this, my daughter, she has been a true daughter. And if anything, if there's any weakness I can think of, it is that when she is suffering, she will not share it with you. That is what I would tell you. But when one of my sisters was my father said, I would tell you, young man, she has a very bad temper. He says, that's for me, I'll tell you so that you know what you are marrying. Not that you come and I say, my daughter is so sweet. No, no, no frills. No. They are frills. But even when your parents are wrong, there's a way to carry yourself as a Christian. And there's a way, sometimes you suffer for doing right. And Peter said, if you suffer for doing right, blessed are you. Blessed are you. So there's even a blessing in that. So I pray that Christ will be seen in you. That because of you, light will enter into your family. I was the first born again Christian in my family. Of all my siblings, I was the first born again Christian. And it wasn't easy for me because I'm the youngest girl. And there are 13 of us. 9 boys and 4 girls. And they are all older. And every time they are making plans, they are going to the nightclub, they are doing this, they are passing here, they are... They say, eh, look at Mary, look at Virgin Mary sitting there, that's me. Today, by the grace of God, they have come to know Christ. Because I never gave up on interceding for them. I interceded for them. And today, whenever there's any decision, so let's ask Mommy what we should do. Let's even my brothers defer to me a lot. Because they know that I brought them up in the things of God. So Christianity is not just for church. It must be seen in every area of your life. You don't have to wait for your mother to call you, come and wash up. You should have washed up clean. Your mother will say, ah, what a child. What a child. And your father who sees in secret reward you openly. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wanna be more like you. Oh Jesus, I wanna be more like you. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, Lord, I wanna be more like you. Oh Jesus, so you work through. I wanna be more like you. Paul says in Ephesians 3:14-15, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The family of God includes heaven and includes earth. All the saints in heaven with the Father and all those on earth make the family of God. We want to pray, oh God, build your family. Build your church. Do not allow the gates of hell to prevail. Build our homes. The Bible says that God chose Abraham that he may establish his covenant. God doesn't just put us in families just because it's nice, but he has a covenant that he has to establish through the family and through the Christian home. Open your mouth and pray. Pray for the family of heaven and on earth, by whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Pray for the church as a family. That the church will indeed be a place that the solitary will be set in family. Pray that Satan's attack against our relationships in the church shall not stand. And pray for your home. Pray for peace. Pray for the hand of God. Pray that it will be a place of prayer, a home of prayer. The Bible says, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Your house is also your home. Pray that spiritual things will happen in your home. Your home will be a place of spiritual activity. For those of you who have members of your family who don't know God, mention their names and ask God to touch them. Ask God to preserve the Christian family that's in heaven and that's on earth, that Satan will not have his way. Oh, Kabala Moshande ne mamala kore mayande, inde ne mamala kore bashande ne yande, meka yande ne mamala kore bashande ne mamaha. We pray for the church family. May your hand be upon it. Deliver it from division. Deliver it from squabbles. Deliver it from the gates of hell. May the gates of hell not prevail, of God. I speak peace into every home. I speak peace amidst every raging storm. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh Jesus, be the captain of our boat. Be the captain of our homes, O God. Touch the unsaved. Do a new thing. And establish your covenant. In Jesus' name. I wanna be more like you. Oh, Jesus. You are here? You don't know Jesus as your personal Savior? Or you've been playing games with God. You refuse to retain the knowledge of God in your mind. And you live according to your own flesh and your desires. You want to say this evening, Lady Reverend, pray for me. I want to mean business with God. I want to be serious with the things of God. I'm not sure whether I'll go to heaven or hell when I die. Lady Reverend, I want to be sure. And I want to find a meaning and a purpose in this life. Lady Reverend, pray for me. I need to start afresh with God. I want to give my life to Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You are here like that this evening. You want to say the games are over. A serious life begins tonight. Just put up your hands wherever you are standing and I'll pray for you. Forget about who is on your left, who is on your right. We are here in the presence of God. It's not about any man, any woman. It's about Jesus. Lady Reverend, pray for me. And if you are lifting up your hands, let it go high above your shoulder so that I can see you. Lady Reverend, pray for me. I need to give my life to Christ. God bless you. I see your hands. God bless you. I see your hands over there. Oh, the Holy Ghost is touching you wherever you are. Do one more thing. Come forward. Give me the privilege of leading you to the King of Kings. You raised up your hands. I saw them. Come. Come to the presence of God. Come before His throne. You lifted up your hands, come. If there's somebody standing by you who has lifted up their hands, encourage him to come forward. I wanna be more like you.
Put your hands together for them. Heaven is rejoicing. I wanna be more like you. Oh Jesus, I wanna be a vessel you work through. We are waiting for you. This is a matter of life and death. You have been ruling yourself for so long. It's time to have a master. It's time to have a life. A God, a Lord of your life. Who can speak into your life and make a difference. Tonight, every rebellion ends. And Jesus comes into your life. If you've come in front, just lift up your hands to Jesus. He loves you. And he's just drawing you to himself. And if you've lifted up your hands in front here, let this prayer be your own prayer. And let it mean it from the heart. Jesus does not come to give you problems. He comes to bring light into your life. Please say after me, dear Jesus, tonight I come to you just as I am. Take my life and make me your child. I have done things my own way. But tonight, I give up my life to you, Jesus. Come inside and be the Lord of my life. Tonight, I stop all the games and I mean business with you. Forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for my mistakes. Tonight, I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. I receive eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy birthday. God bless you. You will never regret walking with Jesus. God bless you. God is wiping away all your tears and giving you a new beginning. Please wait. Please go with our pastor. He'll talk to you shortly and you join us. God bless you. Give them a hand. Heaven rejoices when one sinner comes to the master. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Paul said, I labored more effectively, more than all the apostles. Yet not I, but the grace of God. The grace of God is available to make us what he wants us to become. Some of us have listened to the word this evening and we know that we fall short as husbands. Some of us have listened, we know we fall short as wives. Some of us have listened, we know we fall short as children. The Bible says he who comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. You want to pray tonight and say, God, forgive me. The accusations must end. The pointing of the finger must end. The looking for mistakes in others and not yourself must end. Tonight, you want to say, Lord, I'm a husband. Teach me to love my wife. Give me humility to say sorry. Give me humility to love. And you want to say as a woman, Father, I'm not a saint either. I've also made my mistakes. I bring it all to the cross. Make me the kind of wife that I ought to be. Make me the kind of child that I ought to be. Open your mouth and speak to God. Receive grace. Receive grace. Receive strength, not your own. Receive mercies, not your own. Receive grace from his throne. Open your mouth and ask him to give you grace to help you. Some of you, your marriages are almost on the brink. They're about to just break. Ask the Holy Spirit to come in. Ask God for a miracle. Ask God for a turnaround. Pray over your children. Ask God to touch that child in his own way. You may not know how he will do it. You may not know when. But God has promised to be faithful. Ask him to touch that wayward child. Ask him to touch that child. Ask him to cover your children with his blood. Ask the Lord to do something new in your life. Yesterday is gone, another day has come. Do something new.
do something new in my life. Yesterday is gone, another day has come. Yeah, do something new in my life.
Do something new.
Do something new.
Oh,
something new in my life. Oh, Lord.
You're here, you know that you live like Adam and Steve. And you say, Lord, I don't want to worship the creature more than the Creator. I also need a new beginning. Just put your hand on your chest and I'll pray for you. And after I've prayed for you, you must want to change. You must want to give up the desires and the lust of the flesh. Anything in our lives that we know is not straight. The blood of Jesus is available, but we must want to turn away from it. The Bible says, he who confesses his sins and forsakes them shall obtain mercy. It's not enough to just confess. There must be a forsaking. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just put your hands on your chest and I'll pray for you. Father, we come against every perversion of the enemy. We come not in our own might, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whose we are and whom we serve. We break every stronghold of the enemy over any life that is in bondage tonight. We say to him, Satan, loose! And let them go in Jesus' name. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we declare them free. I pray, O God, for healing. I pray for restoration. I pray for help from above. I pray for a renewing of our minds. I pray, O God, that the deception of the enemy of our lives shall be broken. I lift up every home. Lord, no matter what type of home it is, your presence there makes it complete. I ask, O Christ, that you will come into that home in a very unique way. I ask that the altar of prayer shall start in homes. I ask that the altar of messages will be built in homes. I pray that the altar of Bible reading shall be erected in homes. I pray that the altar of speaking about you to our children and to one another will begin from tonight. I speak to every broken home to come together. For you, God, are the one who puts the pieces together. We don't know how and we don't know when, but we know that you are faithful. Thank you for healing in our lives. I call every wayward child back in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of the God of this world who has blinded their eyes. I silence the voices that are ministered to them. May they only hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Cover our children in your mercy. Don't give them as prey to the teeth of the enemy. Oh, if you should not cover them, who can stand? But your word says you are able to keep that which we entrust to you. We thank you for answered prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may
you've just finished hearing this message, and I cannot leave you without giving you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. You want to say, Lady Reverend Adley, pray for me. I don't know whether I'll go to heaven or hell when I die. I'm not sure of where I will go or my destination. I want to make things right with God. I want to start afresh with God. I want Jesus to come into my life and be the Lord of my life. If you want to have Jesus as the Lord of your life, I just want to invite you to say this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you just as I am. Please wash me in the blood of Jesus. Take my life and come inside and be the Lord of my life. Thank you for coming to die for me, Jesus. Thank you for rising from the dead so that I may have eternal life. And thank you that by this prayer, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus, come in and be Lord of my life. Amen.
It was great having you today. To find out more about the CDs and DVDs advertised on today's program, or to find out more about the resources available by Adelaide Heward.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26767 6055, +233 26767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.